I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hey!
Hi.
Guess what?
It's episode 2
of Can't Lit.
Yay!
Where we talk about books and stuff. I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli. Today we have our special writer guest. And
special guest.
And special friend.
Special person.
Bill A. Nickerson.
Bill A. Nickerson.
He's hailing all the way over from Commercial Drive. That's you.
I can speak now?
Yeah, you can
you're
talk, man.
You're allowed to talk.
Thank you for the drive from Commercial Drive to the secret venue. They made me wear, I covered my eyes and everything.
We made him put on a gimp mask.
Pretty much.
Obviously.
But based on your inherent direction memory, you also realized that we were going to the bathhouse.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's because you were wearing a white towel very long.
I don't know why I'm allowed in here. It's super uncomfortable for everyone.
Your new boyish haircut.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And the pleather pants.
Guess what?
Sorry, dress.
This is just a wig.
Yeah, if you hear kind of a crinkly... weird sound like someone's taking out the garbage. It's your pleather pants.
It's me. It's my pleather outfit as I just like shuffle about.
Which is stunning.
You guys, you're warming my heart.
I didn't compliment it.
I just like looking at you. So we're already into it, but first off, I just want to ask, what's happening?
What's happening?
What's happening? Belay, tell us what's happening with you.
With me?
Could be, you know.
Oh my God. Well, I have finished a term, like a teaching term.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, you guys. I have watched so much Judge Judy. I don't know what's happened to me, but it's been the craziest cathartic thing. I don't know. Like I've been having like getting up early, which I'm not a morning person, but getting up. And then just kind of puttering and getting some stuff done and trying to decompress to, you know, for the next project. But I've been watching a lot of Judge Judy.
And she has new episodes? Like, does this...
Just on the TV.
How many seasons are we into Judge Judy? Does anyone know?
She's 71. That's all I know.
Oh, so you are
doing
such a Judy fanatic that you know her age.
She just mentions it a lot.
She's like, I'm 71.
Yeah, I haven't made it to 71.
Guilty.
Yeah.
And she just says stuff like that.
You know, they don't keep me here because I'm beautiful. But she says things like
that. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is the kind of thing she says.
Yeah.
I have a question. Were you always a Judge Judy fan? Or did you take a break? Were you on a hiatus from the Judester?
Well, I would so rarely see it because I didn't have a TV for like 15 years or whatever, right?
Neither did Judge Judy.
Oh, well, there you go. So she didn't see me. But I don't even know if I'm a fan.
She probably was watching you on a webcam.
I've just been doing a lot of Judge Judy moments. I don't know, but it's been cathartic for some reason. So I can't even say I'm a fan, but I've just, it's been there for me and I've apparently needed it.
Have you heard about this? There was some kind of, I won't call it a scandal. Because it's Judge Judy, but apparently there were some, I'm sure it happens all the time, but people that really made up a case, and it was quite, yeah, you probably are familiar with this.
Yes.
Being the Judge Judy aficionado that you are.
Yes. The dead cat one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they wanted to get a free ticket to the other side of the country.
Yeah. They're like, our best option for this free trip is to make up a situation where we need a judge, and then we go to Judge Judy.
And then they paid for the hotels and everything.
Because Court TV is our earliest reality television, or some of it.
Well, People's Court, probably.
People's Court, any like Court TV cops,
obviously,
are RIP cops. No longer on the television.
That's not on...
I don't think so. I think it was...
That was the greatest one. That was just like all... That was watching naked men run constantly.
Yeah.
Bitmapped. Do you know when they have like little black boxes in front of your, you know, the naughty bits?
Yeah, of course.
That's called bitmapped.
I did not know that.
I learned that.
Have you ever been bitmapped before?
No.
Okay.
Why? Like, I don't do angel dust and run around naked.
You have on my new book cover.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been bitmapped. I did not do angel dust and run around naked.
So it says.
Yeah, he just ran around naked with all the angel dust.
I don't need that.
He's like, I just feel so free. Daniel, what's happening with you?
What did I do today? I went to the gym because I'm a young gay man, so I need to do that. Thing that I do. And then the other thing I did was watch a lot of Food Network because I'm supposed to be writing. So instead I watched Food Network.
Yeah, totally.
And I mostly thought about metaphors for criticism in Canlit pointlessly in relation to Chopped and Top Chef Canada.
Oh my God.
So like somebody who's really like doing a terrible job in Canlit, like just as being befuddled, like just confused by timelines and everything. They're basically the person who makes ice cream in the third round of Chopped. Somebody always makes ice cream in the third round of Chopped, which is like the show where you have four random ingredients and then they give them 30 minutes and some asshole always goes, oh, you know what? 30 minutes? I'll make ice cream.
They're like, here are your ingredients. And one of them is those like neon glow sticks.
Yeah.
And
a barbed wire.
Barbed wire and an almond milk. Yeah. And like fungus make some delicious neon ice cream. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And then there was an episode where one of the judges basically was handed quite obviously an open face sandwich. And was so confused by this open face sandwich. But she was clearly just trying to like just ruin the chef's meal for no reason, like pretending like she had no idea like how an open face sandwich works. So it showed up on her plate and she started lifting ingredients and being like, I don't, like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't understand. Do I put the lettuce over the meat or, and everything's already been placed. And I'm like, no, you fucking eat the sandwich because you've been a chef for 20 years. And so that is like somebody reviewing a poetry book who has like, who knows that they it's not their style and just looks at that sandwich like they have no idea what's going on.
They know it's a poetry book, but that's it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's extremely confusing. What
are these line breaks? Why would you just...
They want to complicate it.
Yeah.
When it's a damn open-faced sandwich.
Yeah. Tina, what's happening?
Today, I worked. I said goodbye to a friend who was moving away. It's one of my oldest friends.
That's hard.
It was hard. It was upsetting. Last year my best friend moved away, and then this year one of my other oldest friends moved away. And the thing about these friends is they are not from the literary world. Oh. And no offense to people that I'm friends with that are, but there's something more meaningful about our relationships in a way, because they just, you know, want to know me from who I am, and they know all the garbagey parts of me. They're not using me for my low-scale poetry connections. But anyway, yeah, it was sad.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry today. We had another thing on the weekend where I had already cried a bit.
Oh, okay.
After.
So you pre-cried.
Yeah,
so you'll probably post-cry.
And I'll probably cry again later. I mean, we are drinking wine, and I also had a wine before I came. So there's definitely going to be some vino tears. But yeah, it was sad. David Holmes, please enjoy Toronto.
Oh, Toronto.
Toronto. It was sad. But I watch TV a little bit. I like to get up early enough that I can, like, watch one TV show while I eat my breakfast and have tea. And Louis is back, so I'm really excited about that.
Right.
And it did not disappoint me.
A season behind you, so yeah.
Yeah, I won't talk about it, but I was reading one of the recaps today and on Vulture, and Daniel Henderson, who is just a really hilarious writer and wonderful person, said, I know two things about Louis C.K., and one of them was that all women want to climb him like a tree, and I was like, it's very accurate.
For some reason.
I was like, interesting phrasing, but good. So that was my day. Watched Louis. I went to work. I got sad.
Okay.
I watched 1.5 hockey games, and I talked about the Met Ball, which, you know, it's very important.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah. People be cray. Charlize Theron, Sean Penn, get away. How many of his wives have to charge him with, you know, spousal abuse before you run away? Already two. And Madonna, who we know is super tough and really, really strong physically.
She's got the scary arms.
Yeah. She could have, like, taken out his trachea. Anyway.
No.
Oh.
I remembered the other thing I compared to Canlit, which was, did you all see Avril Lavigne's...
Are you talking about Hello Kitty?
Not her video, not her terrible, awful video.
Oh, are you talking about the photos
the,
taken at her
the meet and greet? And I thought it would be amazing. Like, one, that was hilarious. Because it's like, who even wants to touch Avril Lavigne anyways?
And they had to pay money. They paid money.
Yeah, $400.
To be there.
Oh,
people
God.
Paid money to stand in the vicinity of Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
I'll pay $400 to, like, not have to be in her vicinity.
Like,
you know?
But I kept thinking of, like, if poets or writers had to do meet and greets and how awkward that would be.
What do you think... Okay, let's just break this down, like... Food chain style. Who is doing the best job, genre-wise, and who's like, just some little paramesiums, like, scuttling about?
For meet and greets?
Yeah, writer-wise.
Like, who would give the best one, or who would get the most money?
I think who would do the best job, and then who would be the most, like, awkward and uncomfortable?
Well, the best would be David McKinsey.
Well, yeah.
I just mean, like, genre-wise, though. Like, what do you think? You feeling
like...
Oh, like
fiction writers?
Yeah.
I base it on, okay, who is usually the most drunk in a, like, creative writing program. So I go nonfiction writers.
More
like
than the
poets? Memoir nonfiction writers, yeah. They don't even hesitate about what you understand that they're talking about. They're like, listen,
you know that's
I was
true.
Crying.
That's true, because I had...
I don't need no line breaks to tell you that. I have a lot of feelings.
That's true.
I had a friend, I can't say any names, I'm sorry, usually I say the names, but I can't. And there was a writer from Australia who was writing a memoir, and she got so wasted that she puked in my friend's sink at a festival.
Yeah.
And that just made me think of that, yeah.
I bet that sink was clogged right up.
Yeah.
Oh, with the free cheese from the hospitality.
Oh,
yeah,
what
hospitality
a waste.
Cheese.
Yeah.
You do not use
and
the
baby
free cheese.
RIP hospitality cheese.
And the baby carrots.
Oh,
no,
baby
carrots. That's fine. You can throw those up.
Well, who would be... Not the olives, though. You want to keep the olives down.
Who would be... This is a tough one.
Like, who would go below that?
Like, well, did you see the contrast where they were showing the Rihanna?
Yeah, because Rihanna is like Team Rihanna. Over here.
Rihanna's just
people are touching
giving
her
it
boobs.
Up.
She was touching their boobs.
Yeah.
She was
really happy.
Trying to spank them. Like,
yeah. She was really happy. Avril had the same face in every photo. So it looked like it was a mask.
I have a theory, though, that, like, maybe Avril Lavigne died, like, 10 years ago, and Chad Kroger just, like, put a robot instead.
That's horrifying.
I'm still stuck on that, and I'm just having, like, a Stepford Wives, like, the remake moment with,
yeah.
Like, but Avril Lavigne's.
All just a bunch of Avril's.
Oh,
or
God.
I Freaky Friday'd with Avril Lavigne, and actually, I'm Avril Lavigne, like, right now, and she's Daniel Zabarelli.
I will never have an erection again. This is just, like,
I'll say
a
that.
Bottle of blue pills.
I'm going to keep saying R.I.P. during today's R.I.P. Blaze penis. I'm really sorry that... You were a great cock while you lasted.
Oh my
you
God.
You have perished.
I think you know who the best person in Canlit for a meet
I
and
want
greet?
To hear this.
Bonnie Bowman.
What's going to happen in this interaction?
Bonnie Bowman would just drink whiskey and she'd swear at people and she would just be the best person. She would just be drinking and then if someone was being a douchebag, she would let them know.
I'd like to see a dog pile.
Oh.
I think I've actually done that with poets before. Yes, we've done that before.
That's beautiful.
That happened at that...
I feel like it's only happened off camera.
Correct.
After hours. At karaoke it's happened.
Yeah.
Do you have a karaoke go-to song? We've never talked about this. Belay, tell us your karaoke.
I write the songs, so I don't do karaoke.
Write the songs that make the whole world
sing. I only did karaoke once in my life.
What?
And I will never do it again because how I can't...
So good. You just mic drop?
I totally did. I was in Victoria, and I did a duet of I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar with Lynn Crosby.
This is already so great.
So Lynn Crosby, like, I can't make it better.
What if we get Lynn Crosby for a sequel to this karaoke experience?
Can we make that happen?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
No, it was we're, a not one-time
time.
Deal.
We're not. RIP that one time. Yeah. That it,
the, RIP. No, there was purity.
No, because I'm not one of these, like, we're not going to have, like, the, you know, the TV show, you know, cast reunion 10 years later. It's not going to happen. You know?
Okay.
Oh, listen, listen to that noise. It is not Daniel peeing. It is a little bit of wine. Thank you, Dina.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
This is the greatest bathhouse ever.
So classy. And they're being really cool about me.
Yeah.
I was saying to Daniel that years ago, out on screen, the mm-hmm. Queer Film Festival had one of their parties in the bathhouse and became gender neutral, but they didn't tell everybody it was going to be gender neutral, so all these old guys were hiding in the dark room, but that's another story. But the thing was, they had this huge chocolate fountain in the middle, and it, like, talk about the most inappropriate thing in a bathhouse, and people were sticking their fingers in the chocolate, and I wrote about it, and I said that it tasted like chocolate, doorknob, and ass.
But like, who? I feel like I know some of the people who help coordinate that, and I just, it's so, it brings me such sorrow that somebody thought a chocolate fountain in a bathhouse was the right idea.
Well, they were thinking outside the box.
They were thinking outside some things and inside up. Like, there yeah. was a lot of thoughts.
There was a lot of thoughts.
Went into this, you know, particular accoutrement.
Just yeah. spraying around.
That's a set piece.
It really was, yeah.
Well, speaking of chocolate fountains and bathhouses, no, it doesn't really relate, but we should talk about your book.
Yes.
Artificial Cherry.
Artificial Cherry.
Artificial Cherry.
We also came up with renaming it Fartificial Sherry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fartificial Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the other ones.
I don't remember the other ones either. We really wasted them on the pre-taping.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yay.
It was the pre-cum of the podcast.
Oh.
Oh my.
Did I go too far?
No.
Okay, great. No.
It's boy. This is going to be the porniest of all of our
that
podcasts.
That is not true.
It's not going to be the porniest, but I feel like there might yeah. be the most dick talk.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, we talked so much about butts last time. We have to do something.
That's a good point.
We can talk about poems as well.
We're definitely going to talk about poems. Some of them might not be about dicks or butts.
No.
Yeah.
So Artificial Cherry.
Yeah. It's new. It's fresh. You must feel pretty great.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. You know, because the last two books, so Mick Poems, where I was writing mm-hmm. about fast food mm-hmm. culture, then Impact, which was all about the Titanic, it was just really nice to be funny again and not have to be kid-friendly. Like, it just felt right with those other two projects.
Well, the other thing I was going to ask about, because both McPoems and Impact, the Titanic poems, are very, I mean, completely themed. And mm-hmm. this didn't necessarily have one cohesive sort of thread that was
yeah.
driving everything together. And did that feel really freeing and kind of allow you maybe to get back to just being straight up hilarious?
I think so. But I also over the years, I'd have these poems that, you know, didn't have a home because, you know, I couldn't necessarily have, like, I don't know, like a really anal Titanic poem. I guess I could have, but
I can't believe there are no sex poems in Impact.
Well, there is a mention.
There's one
mention that when the ship hit the iceberg, right. that someone actually said that someone thought it was their husband when they were having sex.
See, that's a reference.
Yeah. So, but that's as naughty as it gets. But this one was really about the body.
Yeah.
And then, you know, body humor also. And I just wanted to have some fun. And I don't know. I just, you know, maybe I'm getting to the age where my body's changing. And I'm just more aware of it. I'm not. You know, I'm not 20 with a six-pack, like I ever had that. But I think that was just sort of part of kind of relating with the world. So that came up with a lot of the poems, right? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's super funny and delightful. And
yeah, but so people can't see this right now, but Daniel has a super pensive face on.
Daniel, do you want to address your pensive face?
Yeah.
I was thinking of the follow-up question.
Okay, great. Go.
And then I realized that I forgot it at the exact same time.
But you were on deck, and now you're just...
I just lost
I was
it.
Just going to make a baseball metaphor, and I didn't really know what I was going to
say. Oh,
no. I don't know about that stuff.
The thing I was asking about in my head to myself, which is why I had that pensive dumb face, was in respect to projects, you created those, you had Impact, you had McPoems, you had Impact. And I'm assuming that the process was that you had over time been randomly writing these pieces.
Yes.
And I wonder, how many projects do you have on the go then? Or is that, not a way you process in respect to writing?
I really go where the heat is. And a lot of it just sort of depends when I'm, when I'm teaching or other commitments going on. I'm a lot of a binge writer. So, this book, when I got into the zone, and there was one day, I can't remember what poems they were, but I seriously wrote five poems in one day. I finished five poems, or mostly done. And that's unbelievable. That doesn't happen. I'm happy if I get the chunk of a poem done in a day.
That's a bonfire.
So I think that the floodgates just really kind of went, and, I was zoned out. I was just so in there. So, yeah. I think there's a bit more, there's some broken heart stuff and just heart. And then there's lots of anal, you mentioned.
Tons of anal.
Yeah, lots of anal. And Hetty Fry, Dr. Hetty Fry is in the
book. Yeah, Dr. Hetty Fry is in the book. There are other literary figures that make appearances in the book, which is kind of fun to have those allusions and sort of.
And that section of the book, all about the crazy things that have happened to me
at readings. Because that's something that for you over your career has been really big, is your sort of persona at readings or the activities that have occurred at your readings and your launches. So it's good for you to...
It was kind of nice to just share that,
Do you have a favorite that you could tell right now of the weirdest poetry reading event? It doesn't necessarily have to be in the book.
I think the weirdest thing that ever happened, and I totally understand it, so I'm totally not saying anything disparaging about the person this happened with, but I was in Toronto, and a poet who had previously read this at the festival, the reading series that I was at, had recently passed away. So the host was very upset, and a lot of people were upset. Because they'd lost someone very dear to them.
Yeah.
But as so often happens, grief is awkward and people don't know what to do. I went up to do my reading and I was waiting for that moment for someone to, say my bio and what have you. And instead the host got up and announced to everyone that this poet had passed away. And he was just gutted. He was so devastated. So I felt so much for him. But then... He asked for a moment of silence, and I was like, okay. And then, as opposed to having a break or anything, he goes right from the moment of silence, which is, never 100% silent and always 100% uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He went right from that to, our next reader is Belaine Nickerson. So I had to go up, and I was shell-shocked, and I was like, what the fuck is... Oh, I can't... Am I allowed to say that
word? Yes, of course you are.
Okay, good. Oh, who knew? So I got up there and I was like, hi everyone, I'm going to read some poems for you, but I'm going to take a little break. So we're just going to have a quick, little fill your drink kind of thing. So at least I knew to do that. But I was like, how is this possible? How am I going to go directly a moment of silence to reading my poems, which are crazy?
Did you have humorous poems on deck? Because that'd be amazing. We're like, hey everybody, here I go! Ha ha ha!
I think it would have been because it was probably after my first, maybe second book. So,
right.
Yeah, I didn't have serious things, but you're not gonna even. I don't think you're gonna follow it.
There is no good transition.
No,
there is no good transition in that situation.
The transition is bathroom break.
Yeah,
yeah. You're like, hey everyone,
have a smoke.
Yeah, go outside, pay tribute, cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, very surreal. So I think that in some ways epitomizes some of the, how vulnerable you are when you're reading and you're going to these places and that happens. So you can't make that shit up. What I love is writers too, you'll stay on, you'll get billeted somewhere and you'll stay on someone's like cat hair covered futon.
Yeah.
And then the very next day, some like hotel chain has donated a hotel room, and they want to do they'll do the biggest room and most expensive room because they get more of a tax write off. So you're like $800 room, and you know, previously cat hair futon.
It's so true.
You know, and it's just like, okay, this is my life as a poet. You know,
I like when we get the fancy rooms, because whenever I get the fancy rooms, I just think in my head, like logically, I'm like, I will probably sell 2 books at this reading. That will make, like, me about 20 cents. And it's just, like, logically, in my head, I'm just like, this makes no sense. So I'm just going to enjoy the fuck out of this forever. And I just take photos and send them to friends and be like, look, look, look. Because this is only going to happen once in a while.
I always take a selfie in a white robe, because that is what you do.
Oh, yeah?
You put on your white robe.
Yeah. You put a towel in your hair.
Yeah, of course I put a towel in my hair.
Yeah, I had to make sure.
And then I put a tiny bit of makeup on so it looks like I'm fresh-faced, but I'm not.
Right. Is that why you're doing that one time? We stayed one time.
I wasn't wearing makeup that time. But
Have you ever had the hotel room with in the middle of the room, the hot tub? I have.
Daniel and I stayed in last year when we were on tour, when we were in Montreal, we stayed in a room that was like the honeymoon-ish suite.
It was the suite.
We're sharing a bed, and there's a bed here, and then across from us is just a giant spa tub. Yeah. I tried to convince Daniel to get into the tub to let me watch him bathe, but he didn't want to do it.
We instead drank gas station mimosas.
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
It was great. Yeah. Gas station mimosas.
Like a Depender kind of thing?
I ate a terrible yogurt that was not delicious.
Oh, yeah, that breakfast was weird.
Oh, gosh.
I did not enjoy my yogurt.
No. But thankfully, the night before, we had eaten at 3 in the morning, like, poutine,
veggie steamies.
Oh, it was the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. We weren't in Montreal for very long, so we decided to just milk it.
Well, this is what happens with poets, you know? Mm-hmm. We just have these exciting lives.
Yeah, that's why it would be fun to meet and greet.
I would love to meet and greet.
Yeah. I'd grab anyone's boob.
I actually think people would be like, no, get away. Yeah, people would ask to get away from me. They'd be like, this is too much. You have to leave. We're done with you. Belay.
Yes.
You previously have mentioned that you learned a lot and got some line break tips,
mm-hmm.
in a way, from certain female comedians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sandra Bernhardt and Joan Rivers. So I wonder if you could just kind of bridge that gap between those two things.
Well, you know what I've learned with the new book, and then people have been saying to me a lot that they can hear my voice.
Yeah.
And I have a couple poems on Lemon Hound the other day, mm-hmm. and I put that up on my Facebook, and people that I haven't talked to in years were like, oh, I can hear you, which was really interesting to me. I don't know if I'm like, how much I'm trying to capture Belay in every poem or something. But I think growing up watching Sandra Bernhardt and Joan Rivers for sure. That's why I love babysitting and watching Joan Rivers when she was, substituted for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. And just that moment of devastation and that moment of the unexpected, and how her comic timing, to me, is that's really how I will pace my work and the line break. So I've made that connection. I can't say a particular time, but I think that that's how I view communication, when you're saying things out loud, and just those different levels that you can achieve.
And there's also that vulnerability that she creates, or that a lot of successful comedians create, by saying something more outrageous or funny and then kind of bringing it back to the personal, which you also do in a lot of ways in this book as well. And whether it's personally about you or you're telling the story of someone else, you really put that vulnerability in there. So there's the humor juxtaposed with that as well.
So I've been calling the book Cheeky Sweet.
Yeah.
So it's not quite bittersweet, because I think that there's moments of that, but I think there's a bit of a cheekiness that I've been liking, and I've been feeling like it's okay.
Yeah. It is okay.
Yeah.
I like that cheeky sweet can be... to me, cheeky sweet, as I'm using your term.
Yeah.
You know, the professional term of cheeky sweet.
Hashtag cheeky sweet. Follow us at Can't Lit.
It has the ability to kind of hit on a very real world level. I think this is why I love the book and why I love humor. Because it can say something intellectual while still getting the laugh. The bittersweet has that ability to get people to self-reflect more. So getting people to laugh at something real world tends to have like a more of a moment where you're like, oh, okay, this is how the world works, and and that's funny because I can totally see it now. Versus the bittersweet has them always going, oh, and they're just like, it's more internalized. Basically, bittersweet is selfish. I'm kidding.
Well, I think if you only do the bittersweet, then I think it's just simple. It can be simply manipulation. But I'm trying to push a bit beyond that, I suppose. I've really been, you know, thinking with teaching and just what I'm drawn to with other styles of poetry, too. And I've realized that I'm drawn to works that make me look at the world in a different way.
Right.
And I think that as a reader, I'm expanding sort of my comfort zones, and I'm moving beyond simply just appreciating narrative works. Yes, Daniel Zamparelli, I've been, you know, considering some conceptual things. I mean, even writing them myself, but... just that power of capturing and how we do that with words. And so I'm not like this poetry snob that poetry has to be a certain way. I don't care if it's, you know, postcard fiction or conceptual, or, you know, I'm around spoken word folks all the time, and I'm really enjoying that too. So poetry is just make me realize something, make me look at the world differently, make me consider. And then I think then the poet has done a big part of their job.
I agree.
Agreed. Yeah. And I mean, I think you're tapping into a sort of a reverence that isn't always in poetry or CanLit overall. And it's a fun area to explore.
Plus your Anal RB poem could basically save the world.
It probably
is going to.
Just even saying anal that many times will be beneficial to society.
So just so people understand what Daniel's talking about. So when I was up at Dawson City UConn, there was a game that the locals would play, and they would add the word anal to the names of all the RVs that were going through. Generally, they were driven by older American or German couples. So you would go through and, you know, would say the Explorer, and you just add anal to it. So the Anal Explorer. So I spent hours one day at a coffee shop online finding out all the different names of RVs. And so that poem, it's basically a list poem with kind of, you know, connections, different content. Like, you know, who knew that there's an RV called the Leprechaun? So when you have the anal Leprechaun, it changes it a little bit, right? So, yeah, that's the first poem in the book. And I thought, okay, let's just... Like, if people can't deal with that poem, then I don't want them reading my book.
They know that they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like right there.
Was that in your mind when you... Because you had produced those two poems, two poetry books beforehand that, like, were definitely, like, these books, Impact and McPoems, can, like, be taught in schools.
Yeah.
And they can be in libraries, no problem. And then it's like, this one, like, anal. Like, the first thing is anal. So it's like, it was that your way of, like, being like, caution, anal.
I don't think it was that.
Or did you not even think of that?
I just wanted to write some poems, and then, you know, the project didn't feel like it was, like McPoems, for instance. It didn't feel like having, you know, naughty kind of body things and sex and la la la. It didn't feel.
Even though there were meat patties in it.
Yes. Yeah. No.
Buns and meat patties.
Buns and meat patties.
I guess because with that one, I was trying to get more of a like a very neutral kind of narrator, and the second person was kind of imposed onto the reader. And when you get into sexual situations, then that you became difficult.
Right.
So, who knew? All the secrets. So I wanted to have some fun, and putting the book together, it just felt like, okay, let's not hide away from the humor and the balls to the wallness of the book, right?
So I'll call you Balls Out Belay.
Yeah.
Balls Out Belay. Our bodies are disgusting and hilarious, so it's important that we acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And I guess they're beautiful or whatever, I don't fucking know.
And the pregnancy test in Toronto.
Oh my God.
You know, looking for apartments in Toronto, and there was a used pregnancy test on the counter, but what made it the worst is it was beside the bananas.
Oh, God. Did you... Okay.
Like...
did you see what it said?
I didn't even want to look because I was so upset, but I was with a friend, and she checked it out.
And?
I'm not 100% sure anymore.
Wait. If Maury Povich, would he be like, you are the father? He'd be like, no one is the father and no one is pregnant. What's the deal?
Well, I just given that apartment, I have a feeling if someone was pregnant, that pregnancy would not have been taken to term.
Right. Fair. Good. Great.
Yeah.
I almost just said two words together. Go abortion. But I didn't, but now I have said it. It's too late.
Sorry, yeah.
It's too late.
No, well, that's, you know.
It's too late.
It's, you know, it's a woman's choice.
Yeah. Damn straight it is. Yeah.
Hashtag Cantlit. Follow us on Cantlit.
Hashtag yes. Cantlit. Stop talking. So we have a new segment, or another segment, that we would like to go over now. It is called, Who's Fighting Now? Where we discuss Cantlit feuds. I personally don't think anything is going on right now. I find it troubling. I think that Cantlit's probably dead.
Which, it's weird because it's been a week. And you know me. I follow the Twitters and the Facebooks extensively.
You're an expert.
And I could not find... I could not find a fight today. So, we can bring up old fights if we would like.
Well, I have a story.
Would you call it a retro feud?
Well, it's not even a feud.
Vintage Who's Fighting.
I think it's something that should have been said.
Who's Fighting Now?
I held it in for a long time.
All right.
I'm not going to hold it anymore.
All right, bring it up.
This is your cathartic moment.
Yes. So Zach Wells, who can write some decent poems. Mm-hmm. I give credit where credit's due.
Hashtag decent poems.
Yeah. Came to the launch of Seminole, the anthology. Well, what was it? Canada's Gay... I can't remember the title.
Anthology of like gay male.
It's my anthology.
Yeah,
thing.
Canada's
yes.
Gay male poets or something.
Yes.
Along
the anthology of Canada's gay male poets. Yes. Okay. It was the because
we all pulled it together.
Yeah. Anyway, so he shows up and within like 30 seconds of being there, announces to everyone that he's straight, and it was just kind of like okay, whatever, who cares? And then I found out that he was going to be reviewing the book, and he felt that there was no necessity for having a gay men's poetry anthology. Thank you, Zach, Mr. Straight Man, for saying that, and believing that and saying it.
I love when straight men do that. It's like, oh, you don't need this.
Oh, we don't need this. So I, being a very generous and gracious man, contacted him and said, hey. I hear you're writing about the book. If you have any questions, I'd love to have a coffee with you. You can, find out some more things about it. And then he got back to me and he was like, oh, no, I think that would be a conflict. I can't talk to anybody if I'm reviewing their book. And then I'm like, fine. And then it was like 3-4 months later, he still hadn't. And I went back to him again and said, hey, do you want to talk about this? And I never heard back from him.
Was the book reviewed?
He never reviewed it. It was reviewed by some other places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I just thought, like, what? Ugh. Why would you do that? Like, why do you need to tell everybody what they can publish or what is needed, especially when it has nothing to do with you?
Right, when it's not part of your experience and you're not trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember George Bowering tried to do that on our one of my posts once. So I was also in an anthology with Belay and with Bill Bissett. And he's like, we need a breeder's anthology. And I was like, well, and then I think, I can't remember who it was, said, that's every anthology. And then he's like, but a poetry anthology. And then I responded, that's every poetry anthology. And then he started to throw down percentage numbers. And I was like, whoa, whoa, straight dude, you back the fuck up.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this, Russia?
Don't call the statistics police.
You know, so people aren't able to share their experience and, you know, all the... So many of the older contributors that had won the GG and some other, you know, significant works, those books were out of print. And they're kind of falling off the canon. So we were trying to bring these poets and their work back into the collective consciousness, if you want to call that. But, yes. So, Zach Wells. Just call him out.
All right. Well, I feel like every episode of Can't Lit is going to involve angry emails to us, and we welcome them.
I look forward to reading about people's rage and responding in whatever way I choose as a woman.
As a lady.
Me and my vagina are going to do whatever we feel like doing.
You're going to do a little vagina monologue.
That's lit.
Yeah, my vagina is going to have a monologue later in the episode.
Wow.
I was at UBC today and there were these posters for the vagina monologues, but whoever had done the graphic design for them had not done a top shelf job. And it just looked like the Gina monologues, which was killing me. Killing me. So, you're probably not listening, but whoever did graphic design for the Gina monologues.
The Gina monologues I want to hear
amazing.
So bad.
I don't know what Gina's up to. Maybe it's Gina's, like Gina's. Like, I'm supposed to be, but I'm not. Gold chains, tight pants, etc.
An hour and a half of complaining about your husband.
Me, yeah, complaining about a man that is not buying me a new car, that is convertible, that I need more gold. My fingers have no bling on them.
Yeah.
Just whining. It's wine town. Also drinking wine.
Yeah.
We need an anthology of vagina sestinas.
Oh my god, vagina sestinas, that's great.
So you have to use the word vagina at least once.
In each sestina.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Men and women, everyone in between.
I agree. I mean, vagina.
We all come from vaginas.
We do. This is why I get so mad when people are really misogynistic.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You had to touch one almost, unless I guess you're a C-section baby. Unless your mom was too posh to push, but you had to come out of one.
Or someone's doctor had to, you know, had to play golf.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, hurry up, let's cut this mother out of here. So
yeah.
Get back to the course. Okay, just quickly, going back.
Yeah.
We talked about George Baring.
Yes.
But what's George Baring doing?
What's George Baring doing?
What's George Baring doing? What's George Baring doing?
George right Baring now? Is still out of town.
What?
So we can't call him.
Ugh. Do we have his home number?
I think I do.
George
Baring,
we need your home number.
What is George Baring doing? He is in Ontario.
What?
And according to Twitter, he says, watch out, there's donkey manure all over the ground at Bray Lake. So he's at Bray Lake, Ontario.
With donkey manure.
Wait, is there any evidence of a donkey?
There's no photos.
I hope it's a donkey.
Listen, the five listeners that we may hopefully have in the future, please send me a photo of George Baring on or near a donkey.
We will trade you one video of Dina on a pig.
I'm giving you a little preview. Last year at the PNE, I rode a child's, one of those rides that you put like a dollar into and it just rocks back and forth. And it was shaped like a pig. It was in one of the big barns where the pigs do the pig racing. It's a very erotic video of me riding a pig. And I have a beautiful tan in the video, just so you know. My hair is shiny as a foal. It's really beautiful.
I think a little boy gave you a hat.
My boobs are moving a little bit. And then a small child ran up to me and put a pig-shaped hat on him with little pig ears.
And now I have a video.
And an old man was staring at me. It's a beautiful video. Everyone wants to see it.
There's a handful of old men
staring. You will get to see it if you can get me a photo of George Baring on or near a donkey.
What if that old man was George Baring? Maybe he's already seen it.
He doesn't get to see it.
I thought George was lovely at the Poetry is Dead launch.
He was amazing.
He was particularly lovely that night.
I agree. He knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it was great.
He was wonderful. I could not have been happier.
You could tell he was having fun.
With GB's performance, he was a team player. He really brought us all together. He delivered a great performance.
Yeah.
No, it was great. I could not have asked for more. Yes. I was really happy.
Dina, I think it's about that time for another segment.
Okay, what's it called?
Oh.
What are you reading?
All right. I'll let my phone stop me.
Dina, can you tell them what happened?
I tweeted at the Twitter people, my meager followers.
You yelled into the void.
It's like, hey guys, what are you reading? And some people responded. So, we're going to dig in. Matthew Walsh at Croon Juice says he's reading Sarah Peters, 1996.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Have you read that yet?
It's on my list.
On my list as well.
I've read it, but we'll talk about it another time when everyone's read it, obviously. Wade Compton.
Love Wade.
At Wade Compton. Two Girls, Fat and Thin by Mary Gateskill. Let me just tell everybody right now, if you have not read Mary Gateskill, you're making a huge life mistake.
Wow.
That woman is amazing. All of her books are great, short stories and fiction. Just she's phenomenal. Just get some damn Mary Gateskill in your life.
Right.
Losers. God.
Thank you, Wade.
Yep.
At Wade Compton.
Thanks. At Wade Compton. Alexis Kindlin. Someday, Someday by Lauren Graham, a.k.a. Lorelai Gilmore, who wrote a book last year.
One of the Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, of the Gilmore Girls. Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, they're younger.
And also of Parenthood.
It's just very fast talking.
This is all just speed talking, pop culture references galore, grumpy dudes. Eclectic, weird characters.
Is it poetry?
No, I'm making that up. No, that's true. It's all about...
I thought someone was doing it. I was like,
no,
what?
It's a novel that's written by Lauren Graham. It's called Someday, Someday, Maybe. And she says, yeah, I know. Story is good. Writing is not so much. As we all suspected.
Mm-hmm.
Trina Chambers.
Aww.
At A Dog Abroad. Is it A Dog Abroad? Yeah. A Dog Abroad A Year. The Sound of Things Falling by Juan Gabriel Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag so good, she says. Matthew Walsh treated me twice, but we're only giving him one pick.
He only gets one.
And I love Trina Chambers so much.
Yeah. Shout out to Trina Chambers.
I love
Everyone
you.
Everyone follow her on the Twits. That's it. That's what we got.
I thought there was also one by Jason Christie.
Oh, yeah. Jason Christie was the first to respond. And his response was... your tweet. So he was being adorable and hilarious in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my favorite heckler of all time.
I don't know. His Twitter is at...
Is it searchable?
I don't think you can...
Because I think it's underscore.
It's at blank, 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 blank.
Yeah.
But you can find him if you...
He's evasive.
Yeah. Jason Christie being evasive, but search for him.
He's intangible.
We have one more thing before we're going to let you go.
Okay.
Well,
because it's getting so steamy and hot in this bathhouse.
You guys, my skin looks
amazing.
Plus,
I have to
bring
this chocolate fountain.
My skin looks amazing.
You look like a million bucks.
I look like a baby. Or like a super hot baby. Belay. What can't you with right now? Like, what can't you? Just what? What can't you right now?
You just can't.
I just can't.
There's got to be a thing.
Oh. I try to be... I'm getting emotional. I'm getting all coffee.
You're getting flustered. Blaze opening his shirt up.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, what can't I?
He's touching his flesh.
Well, it's tough because I feel that Judge Judy has just made everything just so can. Lately, right?
That's great.
Yeah. What can't I? This is so difficult.
It's okay if you can.
I'm stumped. I can't have meat with the bone. Because I was a vegetarian for many years, and then I started eating meat again and gaining all this weight, but whatever. And
you hear that, people? Paleo is it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, but just the thing up. Is, I can eat meat, but like I just feel so weird. Like meat, like maybe if I've had too many drinks or I've just had a bad day, I'll have like a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken. But I just meat on the bone.
You couldn't have just like from the Flintstones, like one of those giant rib things on the side of a car.
Like a boneless wings type guy.
Yeah, no, like wings Thursdays or whatever.
Like be on a Wednesday, but
like
that's okay.
A chicken cutlet is fine.
I guess, yeah, I'm very strange. I don't know, I've like kind of oscillated between vegan to like, but yeah, I didn't eat meat for years.
I feel like we've all been down these roads.
Yeah. That's my can't.
Yeah.
Oh, and no, that's
enough. That's a good one. That's great. Belay, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, Belay N, which made me laugh. So BILLEHN. So at Belay N. That's my Twitter.
On Twitter. Yeah.
I have to update my Belay.com, which hasn't been updated in 2 years, but there's a long story. It'll be done the next month. So you can check that.
Please go to Belay.com.
Yes. Check out the new book, Artificial Cherry, with Arsenal Pulp Press.
Please, go to Arsenal Pulp Press. Look at all their other books. Buy Belay's book.
Amazing books
they
going on right now.
They are doing amazing things. One of their fiction books just won the BC Book Prize. The Wilson
Little.
Fiction Prize. Ashley Little's Anatomy of a Girl Gang. Very exciting. And then please buy Artificial Cherry. Look it up. Read it up.
And say my name to your lover when you're having sex.
That's a good call.
That's a great idea. That's a beautiful thought.
That's a wonderful
for
idea.
But just
enjoy.
Whisper, and they'll think you're choking. But still,
that's so beautiful. I feel like people are really getting something wonderful out of this podcast from you, Danielle. Where can people find you online?
Well, they can find.
They can find us.
They can find us.
At,
like, I don't want them to find me online.
I want them to find you in stock. No, I don't want anyone stalking Daniel.
I don't
if you
be
stalk
a
Daniel,
segment.
I will come down on you so hard.
I don't want to be a segment on Who's Fighting Now, which I inevitably will be on no matter what. You can find us at Cantlit, which is
on Twitter.
On Twitter.
At Cantlit on Twitter. You can find us at cantlit.ca. That's our website.
And we're now on Facebook as well. If you search Cantlit, you can find us.
Yay for Facebook.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg.
And if you want to email us, if you're an author in town and you want to see if you can meet up with us for some fun times, it's cantlit@poetryisdead.ca.
I feel like we've covered so much
ground. We've covered a lot of things.
And we never talked about Spider-Man 2.
Oh my god, we didn't talk about Spider-Man 2. Belay and I saw Spider-Man 2 last week. Go. One line review.
It was too long. Too many villains. We liked Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And Dina got the most amazing Spider-Man cup with a Spider-Man hanging from a little straw, like a little
How
tiny
much was that?
Miniature. We don't want to talk about
that. We don't talk about the price.
Okay.
But Dina's going to be using it to put her
it's
wine
gonna
in when she
summer,
goes to the beach.
My summer cup. If you see me at the beach, I'm going to have wine, beer, or a mixed drink in it. I'm pretty sure a regular size bottle of wine, an entire regular size bottle of wine will fit in this cup.
Oh, that's perfect.
And we did it May 1st. And that was our way of celebrating the end of Poetry Month.
We did.
Oh, that's
we
nice.
Celebrated the end of Poetry Month by watching a ridiculous movie where Andrew Garfield is adorable but sad, and Emma Stone was wearing beautiful coats and shoes.
Yes.
And I think that's also great to usher in Short Story Month.
Short Story Month, everyone. Write a short story.
Also, I think it's Masturbation Awareness Month, too.
Great.
Isn't that? I'm, like, not kidding. I think that's actually it. I'm not being a dick about short stories.
All right, everyone. Well, you can tweet us. And email us about your vibrators and dildos if you
Happy
need to. Whatever
masturbation
you want.
Month.
Happy Masturbation Month. And that's going to be it for episode 2 of Can't Lit. Happy Masturbation
day.
Month.